Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer.
Yes, Jesus gave the key. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Glory United Ministries, sermons, presentations, and anointing. Thank you so much for listening. Now, this is Benny Cummings. Lift him up. Day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is the day that the Lord has given us to be resurrected and to live in his joy. And so I'm going to play for you a little sermon that we recorded earlier. And after that, the woman on divine assignment, our beloved Pastor Bernan, may have a few words.
If you're 50 or older or have a family history of colon cancer, get screened. Screening for Life makes it possible for those who are uninsured or underinsured to get a free screening. Click the banner to find out if you're eligible. This message is brought to you by the Delaware Division of Public Health.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good after midnight, whatever time it is, wherever you are. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott. I'm talking to two audiences today. I'm talking to the audience that comes on to listen to my talks / sermons on Universal Healer. And there's a following of about 20 people. I want to thank you for being those folks. I want to thank you for being people that will listen when I finally get on the air. So I'd like to start off by telling you a story. Dory is related to the topic today, and the topic is, are you waiting for the kingdom, or are you living in the kingdom? But here's a story I want to start off with. Several years ago, I was traveling and speaking in Nigeria. And if I sound a bit winded now, it's because I was doing a few things before the program started. But it'll settle down in a moment. And so the people who were acting as my guides had put me in a hotel, a Sheraton, in fact, right next to the airport. And I think the plane was supposed to leave in the morning at something like 8:30. So the people came to the room, and they said, well, your plane leaves shortly, but let's just wait till a few minutes before the flight. So we, having known that in the States you'll go to the airport, get your tickets checked in, and then line up to get on the plane. So look, can't we go over now? Now let's just wait a few moments. So what happened was then that we went over to get on the plane. Plane was there. And there was a really large crowd standing there waiting for the plane already. Proper. We went to the end of the line and waited. And finally, the stewardesses or flight attendants opened the door and then put the stairs down. And there was a mad rush to get on the plane. And the man who was our guest abandoned us and physically fought and got onto the plane. And looked back at us and said, come on. Now, there were groups of people in front of us. And I want to tell you, friends, if I say to you that I had to fight, physically fight, to get on that plane, I'm telling you the truth. We were pushing and shoving. And I looked back at my traveling companion, who's my wife, and she was just standing there waiting properly, not realizing she could not get on the plane. So then I fought my way back to the crowd, grabbed her by the hand, and then pulled her forward, and up the stairs we got on the plane. And I want you to know that as soon as we got onto the plane, the passengers, the Nigerians, applauded. They actually applauded us, or applauded me, for having fought like they had done and gotten on the plane. So the topic of my talk slash sermon today is, are you living in the kingdom or waiting for the kingdom? Are you standing there waiting, or are you making your efforts and struggling to get on into God's kingdom and experience it now? Now, the reason why I'm making this the focus of my sermon slash talk today is because I spent some time on the telephone with a dear friend of mine who had been probably one of my best friends when I was in high school in the latter years, going from being a junior to a senior. This man was absolutely brilliant. I won't call his name. Someone may know him. This man was brilliant and was the first African-American to be admitted to the physics program at the University of Missouri. As a matter of fact, I spoke with, attended a meeting, I guess it was a meeting or an icebreaker or something or other, where heads of different departments were coming in to meet students to see who were the students who were worthy of scholarships and admission to the university. And I met the head, the PhD who headed the physics program at the University of Missouri, which is the absolutely top public institution in Missouri. And I mentioned my friend's name, and he said he was the most brilliant person he'd ever met. Well, I want you to know that my friend sent me a letter explaining that when he had been at the University of Missouri for 2 years, he had come across a group of people who are Christians and who are advocates of their particular faith. And it so persuaded him that he left the university, abandoned his scholarship, and moved to Alabama, where they asked him to go, to begin to open up and form congregations of that particular religion. So it has been nearly 60 years since I had seen or talked to him, wound up being on the telephone, and admitted that even though when I was at Delaware State College in Dover, Delaware, that I had taught sociology religion, that somehow I had missed his particular teaching. And I had apologized to him for my lack of knowledge, that I didn't know anything about his particular field of study, and that I probably should have. And so I asked him if we could chat one morning and I could hear from him the philosophy, direction, and underpinnings of his faith, which he now has labored nearly 60 years doing. It's formed congregations apparently all over the South. Tell me what it was about. And I don't want to spend a lot of time walking through that particular religious tradition, for whom I have a lot of respect. And I respect them because they have their own viewpoint about what the Bible means, what God's requirements are, and what Jesus is looking for from those who believe, Let me tell you, friends, I came to understand that that entire teaching seems to be underpinned by a belief in God's kingdom, which is good enough, and that God's kingdom has been anticipated or foretold in several places in the Bible. The first place that he directed me to was in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah was the only person who could interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And in that dream, Nehemiah told the king that there were four kingdoms that were going to come. Kingdoms, and he told the king what kingdom the king represented. And the king was, I believe, Nebuchadnezzar was in Babylon, one of those ancient kingdoms. And then the second kingdom that his emphasis was on the kingdom that Jesus spoke of when he told the apostles and those who were in his time that the kingdom was at hand and the kingdom was within. And the last thing to which he directed my attention was the vision that John had seen on the Isle of Patmos, where he had a vision of a heavenly kingdom. So that particular religious approach, or Christian approach, is premised on the idea that at some point Jesus will return, establish a kingdom here. Purpose of their lives are to prepare to live in the kingdom. So I say to you, friends, brothers and sisters, are you waiting for the kingdom or living in the kingdom? I mean, just imagine now to think that you get up in the morning and your whole focus is on how you're going to prepare for resurrection and for living in that kingdom and organizing your life that way. That, to me, seems like a person who's been promised some degree of wealth at some point in the distant future. So everything they do is aimed at preparing, or that person preparing for that wealth and for new treatment of godliness or whatever is going to be. Now, my focus on the kingdom is the belief that when Jesus said the kingdom is within, that Jesus was saying that we, all of us, have the capacity now to experience directly the divinity, the godliness that Jesus has promised, so that we can live our lives loving others as ourselves. We can live our lives blessing God and not think or worry about having a reward in heaven. Not having that on our minds, not going around, going out talking to people, say, I'm doing this so that I can live in the kingdom, that when I am resurrected, hey, maybe today is your resurrection day. Maybe every day that you get up, you're being resurrected. Every day that you're getting up, you're giving yourself to God. So let's just take a moment, and you know how interested I am always in talking about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. God says, and Jesus says in so many ways, that prayer is what is at the heart of who, I would say, and how we are. Now, let's just take a moment, if you will. Let's take a moment, if you will. And along with me, surrender to God's love. Feel God's love surrounding you. Say to yourself, God, you are the one. I'm not waiting for the kingdom, God. I'm living in the kingdom. And if you're in the room with someone or someone sitting next to you, I want you to turn to them and say, I'm living in the kingdom. You're living in the kingdom. God's kingdom expresses itself in every action that you take. God's kingdom expresses every single thought and blesses every single thought. Or take a moment and in your mind's eye say, bless me, O Lord. Bless me, O Lord. And Lord, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. I allow myself, Lord, to be freed from all the sins that have occurred in my life. I allow myself, Lord, in this moment to be freed, please, Lord, of all of the sinful and harmful thoughts. Lord, free me of any anger, envy, distaste, upset, longing, wanting, disagreements. Let me be free in this moment, Lord, because I know that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is within. And Lord, let that feeling and awareness flourish in my heart. Lift me, Lord, lift me and bless me. Now, this does not mean what I'm saying here, that we should ignore taking every opportunity to share with people what it is like to being saved. It doesn't mean that we should not take every opportunity to talk to people who are not members of our religious faith, to not share with them, either in action, word, or deed, the gloriousness that God has given each and all of us in our lives. So I would say to you, live in the kingdom. Get it. When you get up in the morning, say, God, please admit me to the kingdom. Now, for those who are open to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, take a moment and realize that at this moment, stripped of all the sinful thoughts, stripped of all the hate and anger and so forth, that you at this very moment are in God's kingdom. And ask God, God, please remove anything that keeps me from experiencing the kingdom every day and all night. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Amen. Yes, indeed. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you and to raise the question about whether you're living in the kingdom or waiting for the kingdom. Amen. Very shortly, we'll hear a little bit more of Daryl Coley, and Pastor Benjamin will bring us some love, some prayer, and some true understanding. She is our woman on divine assignment.
Forever.
Just a little technical difficulty there, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to bring to you Pastor Patricia Benjamin. Pastor, your line is open.
Amen. We praise God from whom all blessings flow. We praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, the heavenly host. We need to learn how to praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some people who call themselves religious persons, some believe in God only. Then there are some that believe in Jesus only. But Jesus said that I and my Father are one. He said to them in Matthew's gospel, he said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. There are some people who just believe, like I said, in God. And then there are some people that believe in Jesus only. But I am a believer of the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because in the beginning, it was Jesus with God, creating the heavens and the earth. So there's no way that you can convince me that you know my personal Savior if you exclude one of them. The Trinity is God, Son, and Holy Ghost. If you are not in tune with that, then you're out of tune, and therefore you cannot be in the kingdom. There is no way that you can say that the kingdom is within and you don't believe the sayings of Jesus. There is no way that you can tell someone that the kingdom is within. I am in the kingdom because the kingdom is in me, and you don't believe God who said, I shake it in a bush. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the doctor asked the question, are you living in the kingdom or are you waiting for the kingdom to wrap? Now, he spoke about John on the Isle of Patmos. Yes, and I believe that's found in Revelation's gospel. I have the 11th chapter of Matthew, where after Jesus had spoken with his disciples, and John was in prison at that time, and John had disciples as well. And after Jesus had finished speaking, and the Bible says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And then it says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he? Do we look for another? That's the question seemingly that was put before you. Is he the one that's within, or do we wait or look for another? That's Matthew's gospel. And I would ask the listeners to take it upon yourself to read the entire 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. But if you would look at this verse here, and it would say to you, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus was born of a woman. But here he's speaking that there's none that's born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. But I stand here, the least of you. Understand me? This is what the word says. Let's do that again. John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus go on to say, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ear, that's important, listening to Dr. Scott or to myself, Pastor Benjamin, whatever we say unto you, ask God to open up your ears of understanding, because the word says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear it. Don't let it be like water that rolls off a duck. Back. Don't let it be said, well, they're just speaking words. Let it have meaning. Let it penetrate. And ask God for wisdom. He that lacketh wisdom, it says, ask God to give you the wisdom. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. All of us. He is, because he bled and he died for all of us. And then he rose from all, for all of us. I want you to read that 11th chapter of Matthew for yourself. You will find that it is some very good pickings in here. Very good. Okay? All right. That was Matthew 11. Now let's go over here, and I will be finished in a few minutes. I've got my Bible out that I have not used in a while because my Bible needs surgery. It is torn apart. I taped it, and even the tape didn't hold. Now, Revelation 20, and I'm going to be finished. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Remember, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. So you don't know how long that 1,000 years was all about. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, let's go and see, this is John talking. Get to where Dr. Scott was, and this is what Revelation 21 and 1 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever. I wonder, Dr. Scott, if you were to say that in one of your sessions, and then ask the question, are you living in the kingdom or are you outside the kingdom? Are you waiting for it to come from nowhere? Because the scripture says, a new heaven and a new earth came down out of God, out of the Father. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Well, the only way that the kingdom can be within you, then you have to be born in the kingdom. We saying I'm a Kojic girl. I'm a Kojic girl to the bone. I'm Kojic all of my life. And we used to sing a song for this is the church of God in Christ. That's Kojic, C-O-G-I-C. You cannot join it. You must be born in it. Well, it doesn't mean the building. It means you cannot be in the kingdom of God except you be born in it. You can't pay it with tithe and be in it. You can't have chicken dinners and be in it. You can't sing your way in it. You must be born. That's what he told Nicodemus. And the same for Nicodemus stands for you and I. So the question again is, are you in the kingdom? Jesus said the kingdom is within. So it's not an outside thing that will make the difference. You must be born of the Spirit of God. And if you, where does the Spirit of God live? On the inside. Now, if you have the Spirit of God on the inside, then you can say, I'm in the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom's in you. But if you have not been born again of the Spirit of God, not of the spirit of Ichabod, not of the spirit of Nicodemus, not of the spirit of Nazareth, not of the spirit of Mary, the mother of God, none of those things matter. You must be born of the Spirit of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. He must live on the inside of you. And your temple must remain clean. Because the moment that you allow your temple to become unclean, you push him out. And the only way to get him back in the temple is that you have to repent for the uncleanness that you've done. And then he will come back in. But he doesn't dwell in an unclean temple. You can't live any kind of way and say that I'm in the kingdom, because there's no filth in the kingdom. Just like there's no crying, no dying, no pain in heaven, there is nothing unclean in the kingdom. So that's why John was telling the people, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Dr. Scott, I enjoyed your message. It's beautiful for the doorway for me to walk through, because I guarantee you if you bring up a subject, I'll work with it. And I'll make it more understandable, plainer, that we have scripture for what we speak about here on this Blog Talk radio station. We're not on here making things up. We're not trying to get you to be on our team. We want you to be like Jesus said, you must be holy, righteous. These are the keys to the kingdom. And if you're not operating in this platform, oh, well. Oh, well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we invite you to cleanse our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies. And Lord, make us one in the Spirit, one with you in the Spirit. God, make it so when we speak your name, sing a song, he's preparing me, that the voice will come up to you as a sweet smelling savor and not one that stinketh in your nostrils. God, to everyone that is listening today, give them the wisdom, give them the meat of what the word is saying. Help them to cry out, thy son of David, have mercy on me. A lot of us are like blind Bartimaeus. We need to cry out today and say, have mercy on me, thy son of David. And what do you want from me, sir? What do you want from me, madam? I want to be made whole. I want to be cleansed from all of my sin, all of my unrighteousness. And I want to take my seat in the kingdom. I don't want to be picking daisies or cutting flowers when you come. I want to hear you say, well done. In Jesus' name, amen.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, form and after. Jesus gave the key.
If you're 50 or older or have a family history of colon cancer, get screened. Screening for Life makes it possible for those who are uninsured or underinsured to get a free screening. Click the banner to find out if you're eligible. This message is brought to you by the Delaware Division of Public Health.